No fly list.
If you're on that list.
The most problematic thing is that
anyone can be under the investigation of the FBI.
And I know that something really good is going to come out of all of this.
Hello, and welcome to another week of the No Fly List podcast with me, your host, Sabine Sadiq, and
Ethir Yacoub.
And today we chatted with our good friend, Jansu Kerabiak. She is
That was good.
That was really
good. We practiced, and you said it really well.
I did. And we chatted with her about her start in comedy in the UK, ghosting men. We talked a lot about that, actually.
Men ghosting us, for the record.
Yes,
we are not doing the ghosting.
Yeah. I meant men that ghost. So we really dive deep into that. Basically, this is just a podcast where we talk to people of color that are doing really creative, cool things in different industries.
Yeah, and it was so cool listening to her, like, growing up with her experience being Kurdish in Turkey, moving to Denmark or growing up in Denmark. It's such a different experience from us, like, growing up in the States as a person of color, and, like, hearing about also the racism in Denmark that I guess I didn't really, like, think about.
I had no idea. Yeah, I didn't really know that, you know, South Asian communities, Turkish communities were sent over there as, like,
migrant workers
and
kind of taken advantage of, basically.
It's wild. So,
we're like, on that note, it gets funnier, guys. Don't worry.
There are some laughs, we promise.
No, she's such an interesting person. She's got a PhD in neuroscience, like, and comedy, and she's so funny and charming and fun to talk to. And it was just like a fun little hang.
It was. It's always a good hang with her. She's very introspective. I like the way she thinks, and it's really cool. I think you guys are really going to like this one.
Yeah, she's super, like, both rational, emotional, and also just, it's just very, you can learn a lot from listening to her.
And you really can.
And she gave great dating advice, and we talk about all of our backgrounds and our baggage with dating with brown parents and all the expectations and stuff that comes with that. It's not easy, especially when you're in 30s.
Oh, it's so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, navigating that.
But before we get to Jansu's episode, we have our first segment.
Yes.
The No Fly List, No Fly List, where we put people who we think belong on the No Fly List on our shit list, if you will, instead of, you know, brown, innocent people like ourselves. So, Sabine, who do we have this week on the No Fly List?
Well, this week, I think instead of having a specific person, I'm going to do a category of men. Right?
All
right. Or do we want to use my specific person?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think once they hear the episode, they'll know.
They'll know. You guys will see what's going on. But you know what? Screw it. The last guy I dated that ghosted me, he is on the No Fly List podcast.
I mean, he doesn't get to fly.
He does not get to fly anymore, ever, forever.
It's only hitchhiking and walking from now on.
Yeah. That's it. So that's how I feel about anyone, truly anyone that goes.
It's shitty. It really makes you feel like shit. It's a cowardly, like, way out. And we're, like, too old for it. And it's, I mean, no one should be doing it.
Exactly. And it's one thing where it's like, okay, sure, you're both bad communicators. And, like, maybe neither of you are really talking much. Or, like, ghosting maybe could seem, like, okay. But, like, I'm someone who overly communicates. I like to let someone know where I'm at with them.
Yeah.
And so for him to just ghost and not even share, I'm just like, whoa, okay, thanks for that slap in the face.
It is a slap in the face, and it makes you feel like, oh, wow, I'm not even significant enough for you to give me an explanation. But I think it says less about us and more about them and them not being able to face their feelings.
Right. I agree. And honestly, it makes me proud to be who I am, because I'm like, okay, well, I did all the right things here. I communicated. I shared how I felt. I was vulnerable. Sure, I'm hurt. But you know what? At least I didn't screw someone over.
Yeah. And that's all you can do. As long as you're walking away in clear conscience, then that's, you know, treat people like you want to be treated. And
it's like, why in our society, this is the thing, ghosting is happening because people are just like not treating other people like humans. Like, what's going on here? Are we forgetting that we're all kind of connected to each other? We're all in this world together? Like,
I think so. I think it's disassociative, especially with dating apps and people thinking like, oh, well, I don't owe them anything.
Or But I hate that.
It is.
It's like, yeah, you don't owe anyone anything, but is it so bad to treat someone like a person or how you want to be treated?
Exactly. And it's like those same people who have fragile egos that if they got ghosted, it would probably like fuck them up. But that's probably, I think that's what it is too. It's like people then continue that cycle of, you know, they get hurt and then they hurt other people rather than, you know, look at it more introspectively and try to treat people that the way that they want to be treated. But it's, you know, it's a rejection is protection. At least like it's over. It's something it sucks because, you know, sometimes things do kind of fizzle out on their own. And then you're like, OK, like no one really necessarily ghosts, but it just becomes like a mutual thing. But in this situation, it was like a clear like, OK, this person just stopped responding and sort of after months.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting because it's like it was just a very OK relationship. So I'm just like, OK, well, you know what? Good. Now I know he kind of sucked.
Better to know now than like a year later.
Yeah.
But you know who doesn't suck?
Who?
Jonsu.
We love Jonsu. She does not suck. She's great. And you guys, like, I honestly loved having her on the pod today. Like, this was great.
Such a fun episode. Hope you guys enjoy. Welcome, Jonsu.
Thank you.
Welcome, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
We were just talking. You're our Ramadan special.
Yeah. we're like mid-Ramadan right now. Or almost mid, I think.
Almost mid, yeah.
It's moving pretty fast, I feel.
Yeah, and I haven't been fasting, so
same, it's moving real fast. It goes by so quick when you don't fast. It really does. It's kind of amazing. I know. I've been doing this joke on stage of like how my family's so hangry now. And I'm like, have you guys tried atheism? Well, I'm like, I'm not really atheist. But like it's... But I mean, I grew up fasting and everything.
Yeah.
What about yourself? I don't know a lot about you, which I'm like really excited to talk and chat and get into the deep stuff.
No, the real deep stuff. Yeah, I did. I grew up fasting. I was always imitating my older brother. And, you know, he was fasting. So I wanted to fast. So I started when I was like 5 years old.
Whoa.
But back then it was during winter.
Yeah, so it's like 4:30, like 5 o'clock. Yeah.
Dude, I miss those Ramadans
when
I was a kid.
I lived in Denmark. It was 3:30 p.m.
So
no way.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's magical.
So my parents
What if you're
like,
in like Iceland and then you're like fucked?
You're fucked, but then you actually follow Saudi Arabia.
Oh.
Which so for them during summer is an advantage because, you know, the sun doesn't go down. Right? Mm. And so they can just use Saudi Arabia time.
I see.
Whereas in Denmark, we don't... Hours would be during summertime would be 10 p.m. That's when we'd break the fast.
No way.
And 2 a.m. is when we'd have to start. So we'd have like 4 hours to be eating.
Just have to stuff like all the calories in at once.
Everything at once. And then so we'd have much longer fast than people in the north. Because they could follow Saudi Arabia, but we couldn't.
Oh, that's such a
bummer. There's so many loopholes and
so
stuff.
So if it's like too long, is that what you're saying? Like if your fast is too long, you just follow Saudi?
Yeah.
That's the rule?
Yeah, okay, because the sun doesn't go down there.
It doesn't.
So no, it's like during summer.
So then they just have to decide on like a time.
Yeah, they just have to follow Mecca.
Mecca. Okay, That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Wow. But How many siblings do you have?
I have 3 brothers.
Only 2?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. 1 older, 2 younger.
I have 2 older, 1 younger.
Right, okay. I don't know what the dynamic is for other people, but with me, it's a very strange dynamic with my brothers. Yeah. My older brother is like the kind of like a patriarch in the family, more so than my dad.
That's how I would say my middle brother is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's the compensating.
Eldest is he doesn't give a shit. And then the middle one is like the one that's more the patriarch. Yeah.
I'm the patriarch in my family.
Really?
100%. I have an older brother and an oldest sister, but everyone's like, Sabine, you will lead this tribe.
You are the more responsible.
It's very
one.
Weird.
You do have youngest child energy.
I know. And they're like, let's put her on the throne. I'm like, okay.
Being the only sister just meant I always had like boy energy.
Yeah.
And just did a lot of like the boy stuff growing up. And since I've moved away and I left Denmark in 2013. So it's been like almost 10 years now. And when I go home, I get treated like a princess. But when I lived there, I was not treated that way.
Yeah. Well, hold on. You've moved around like a ton. But like where did you guys grow up? Like when you were a born to, like, I don't know, young adult.
How'd you get to New York? Yeah.
Yeah, let me tell you the whole story.
Let's get into the beginning. Where are you born? And then boom.
Yeah. Born in Copenhagen. My parents are from Turkey, from a Kurdish village in Turkey. Mm-hmm. So they come, my grandparents come to Denmark as for labor. And then my parents meet at some point. My dad comes to Denmark. So we're born there, me and my three brothers. And like in an inner city, I used to always make this joke about how I grew up in the inner city in a neighborhood that the Danish government calls the ghetto. And it's a ghetto in Denmark, so it's pretty nice. But, you know.
Probably nicer than
high rises. Yeah,
and our neighborhoods, our nicest neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, New York is a third world country.
For sure.
Dude, it is.
For sure. Yeah, so I lived there. And then for university, I wanted to go abroad during my master's. So I went to California for like 6 months. In 2013, and then I just never wanted to go back. It's like, once you see the world, you're like, why should I go back to this tiny ass country in Europe that's also like super racist? So then I went to Portugal to study for a year as also part of my master's, and then I went to the UK to do my PhD, and I lived there for 6 years, and then came to New York. That was it. That's the whole story.
Right.
And it's not as exciting.
And then, because we were talking about this.
Very exciting.
It's so exciting. Dude, you've been all over the world. Like, that's so cool. Copenhagen is, like, really racist?
Denmark is. Yeah, Scandinavia is really racist.
Whoa. Against, like, all non-whites. They're just kind of, like.
All non-whites. And mainly the non-whites are Middle Eastern and South Asian people. Right, it's the people that came either as refugees or as labor workers.
Right.
People from Turkey and Pakistan got invitations to come to work back in, you know, after the Second World War.
Invitation. Yeah. They become like, that's a nice way to put indentured servants.
You get this, like, golden letter in the mail. Yeah.
They were like, yeah, send your poor people to us and let them work in these factories.
We'll take care of them, yeah.
And then Turkey was like, oh, okay, take these Kurdish people. We don't like them anyway. So then a lot of Kurdish people ended up in Europe. They had, like, no opportunities in Turkey, right? So, yeah. And a lot of people from Pakistan came. So in Germany, you'll have mostly Turkish people from Turkey. And in Denmark, the UK, Norway, it'll be a lot of people from Turkey and Pakistan. So those were, like, the main two. And then, you know, Iraq war happened, right? War in Afghanistan, war in Lebanon, all of that. So we have huge populations of Afghans, Palestinians, Lebanese people, Iraqis, Iranians. So whichever war Europe or US was involved in,
they all went to Denmark.
Because we had a socialist government back then.
Oh.
Now it's like super racist. As a result of 10% of the population becoming brown people, you know,
they're like,
right-wing.
We gotta tighten up these borders. Yeah. Exactly. What are we doing?
Exactly. So they were like, all right, let's try racism. We haven't done that one yet.
Like, let's take a page out of the US book.
Right. Yeah.
Or like German book or you know.
Or any of, it's wild.
British books.
British, yeah, exactly.
None of them
OG colonialists. That is wild. And Kurds, like, I mean, you guys are kind of mistreated and fucked everywhere. So.
Everywhere, yeah. It's pretty consistent in our history.
Yeah.
Does that mean that, like, a lot of your family is, like, just, like, spread around?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people are still in Turkey. But you know what? A lot of them were pushed from East Turkey, which is our like ancestral land, into Central Turkey to sort of break up the unity. So that was like a big thing the Turkish Republic did when it was founded, and the Ottomans did. So my family's like spread around Turkey, but also in Europe. I have family in Germany, Norway, Sweden, Austria, and Denmark. Yeah, so very spread out.
That's kind of cool. I mean, having family everywhere also like. Do you just travel everywhere then, like to visit and stuff?
Yeah.
And that's
growing
so cool.
up, we'd get to just like, oh, we're just going to pop over to Austria this week to meet our family. Like, that's so uncommon, I think.
That is very uncommon. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people from where we come from never even leave their villages.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
They'll all come. Like, my family came, like, all of them. Like, my parents settled down in Chicago in a suburb, and then everyone in Pakistan that came and immigrated went to that area. So it's like everyone is just blocks away.
Right.
There's no exciting travel.
That's how it was for my family in Denmark. You know, no one ever... People would only just go to Turkey. So every summer, it'd be like, oh, we're going to our city, Konya. And they would just go to the village, not explore the big city, not go to any other cities nearby. But then my parents were like, you know, the younger generation of that of their siblings. So they were like, oh, why don't we go to the south of Turkey to go to the beach? Like, the kids might like that. So they kind of shook things up a little bit and started traveling around. So I think there was like a generational difference between that's their older siblings and them.
Oh, that's cool. And I wonder if it's a, so, I mean, my parents settled in Alabama, weird place. But like, I'm wondering from a religious standpoint, like, are people, because in, I think in Alabama specifically, because there are so few Muslims, like they become even more religious than people, you know, back in Palestine. So what was your experience with your family? Are they like, did you grow up like pretty conservative, or like the people around you, are the Muslims there like really Muslim, or is there kind of a variety?
It's exactly like that. It's, you know, all these people who are just really trying to hold on to their identities, and they just become way more traditional. I would say not very religious, because our cities in Turkey were never really religious.
Right.
It was more like traditional Islam, you know.
Yeah.
You know, people know to go to church to mosque on Fridays. I don't even know.
Exactly. Yeah. You're practicing.
People
go to like the temple, I think, to break their fast.
They go to mosque, but like they've never read the Quran, right? It's like that level of like religiousness.
Yeah. It's a culture of religion.
For sure. Yeah. And then so that's what they came from. So no one really practiced religion in that way anyway, but they became way more conservative and like culturally conservative.
Yeah.
So I'm also like in the middle of all my cousins, like age wise, and all my older cousins, the female cousins, were all really repressed. So saw that a lot. And then there was, again, there was this shift with my parents being more liberal that kind of changed how my generation and the lower ones started getting treated. So growing up, it was always this, you know, you can't do this because what would people say? You know, it
that's
was,
the thing. Yeah. It's always about reputation in our cultures.
Always, yeah.
But it's kind of cool that you had, like, the cool parents, I guess. Yeah. Like, they were a little bit more liberal, a little bit more chill.
For sure.
And so I'm sure they're, like, more open to you being creative and just doing your own thing, right? Or, like, how did that play out?
Do they know?
That's like, a good question. I didn't break the news.
She's got a PhD in neuroscience? She's like, oh, my God. First of all, she has a PhD in neuroscience. Yeah. That's so fucking cool.
Thank you.
It's kind of like your ticket to, like, look, Mom, Dad, I can do anything I want.
You know, my parents really hate that I have a PhD in neuroscience.
Really?
They're like, why couldn't you get a real job? Like, be a lawyer or something.
What? Or, like, might as well just be a doctor.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Like, this is a useless doctorate. Like, you can't, you make no money, you're an academic. Yeah, so that's, they're not really happy with that. My dad would have preferred that I became an engineer or a lawyer, like a real trade. He says,
oh my
that.
God, like, I real, hate when they say that. I have uncles that are like, you gotta get, you need to have like a trade. I had one uncle who was like, he was like, you should go to law school. I was like, yeah, but I don't wanna be a lawyer. And he's like, you should just go so you can learn a trade. And I was like, what?
Like, right. People say that like it's nothing. Oh, just go to law school.
Just go to law school.
It's so easy.
Just go have fun.
No big deal. Well, how do they feel about comedy then? If they're disappointed with a PhD in neuroscience, do they even, I can't even imagine.
I don't think they take it seriously. They're like, oh, John's is always, because I've always been, you know, creative. I've always done a million things other than school. So they're just used to me always being distracted with some other thing. So they really don't take this comedy thing seriously. And I don't tell them because, you know,
They don't need to know.
They don't need to know.
Yeah,
That's what you learn with these kind of traditional parents, right? Is that the less they know, the better, you know, the happier they are. So,
and us, because they don't have to like nag us about it. So
right. Yeah. Everyone's happier when they don't know
Absolutely.
Anything.
Absolutely.
Do they push you for marriage, or do they have any of that stress?
Yeah,
on
yeah. So, of my parents, my dad is the cool one. So he's the one who's actually not from my family. So. Because the rest of my family is so conservative and traditional.
Yeah.
So my dad was sort of the one that broke up, shook that up a little bit. Because he was just, you know, he studied in Turkey, and no one in my mom's family went to university. So my dad just coming in as the first person ever in his family as well to go to university. He moved to Denmark. And So because of that, he sort of had different values. Mm-hmm. So he really enforced that a lot with me and my brothers growing up. It was always about education. It was always about, you know, sitting at the table instead of cleaning the table, which is what, you know, my mom did and all my other relatives did. So he kind of pushed us in a different direction.
That's really cool and progressive of him. My dad is definitely not the cool one. No. And my mom's the one I could, like, talk to more about stuff. But your dad is the cool one.
Yeah, I think we have the same parents. I think I'm actually your sister. And I love dad.
All brown people are related, right?
Similar hair color, actually, now that I think about it.
I was like, there's, like, something going on here. I think I'm Kurdish.
Are actually sisters? I just should do a 23andMe.
I did do a 23andMe. I'm waiting for the results.
Oh, really? I haven't done it.
I don't know what it's gonna just say.
I'm
whatever.
Scared. I don't want to know.
Yeah, I know. Me too, a little bit.
I kind of don't want to know either. Yeah, it's like I'm just happy calling myself Kurdish. What if I'm like 70% Turkish? That would be like
right. You're like, or you're like 0% Kurdish. And you're like, all right, mom, dad, you got some explaining to do. What happened?
Kurdish
at all.
Like I've been you're claiming like,
it's
this
your
identity.
Identity. Yeah, that's why I'm like I'm so Palestinian. What if I find out I'm actually like 100% Swiss or something?
Like, oh my God! Yeah, don't do it. Don't get a 23andMe.
Don't I look Swiss?
Here. Don't I look Swiss?
That's what I've always said about you.
Like she's not about
Swiss vibes.
Yeah, Swiss energy. Oh my God. Hardcore Swiss. But that's cool. So your dad doesn't pressure you about the marriage, just like mom or
they do now.
Okay. So how old are you, if you don't mind?
I'm 32.
Okay.
So it's like, was it like as soon as you hit your 30s, they're like, okay, come on.
As soon as I finish my master's.
Oh, okay. That's how it is traditionally. They do that. Like as soon as you finish your like, you know,
your
right
education.
Final, it's like, well, now you're ready.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, I'm gonna do a PhD now. They were like, wait, is that like 3 more years? I was like, it could be 5.
Right.
Who knows? It could be 5.
My PhD took 5 years, so it was actually kind of perfect.
And you're just trying to put off marriage.
Exactly. So I just keep going. And then after every degree, starting from high school, my mom was like, all right, you need to now. Like, you have to think about this. And then university. And she was like, okay, after university. And then the master's happened. So every time she'd pressure me more and more. But then only after my PhD did my dad start making comments. And that was that was weird. And it was more like finance related. Because I'd be like, you know, I don't know how to afford all this stuff in New York. Like coming in from having been a student for 15 years. I don't know how to afford anything. And be like, yeah, if you were married, you wouldn't have these problems. It's like, whoa.
Also, that's not true.
Yeah.
Because... yeah, there's a lot of...
It still gets expensive. Life is still expensive, even if you have a spouse.
I think they think, oh, the man is supposed to just care like, take care of you.
Yeah. I know. And that's... I hate that. Like, I think that, like, fed into my, like, story that I told myself that I'm not capable of doing stuff on my own completely and that I do need somebody to feel settled. That was, like, a big thing that I felt in my life. So until, like... I broke off my engagement after that. I had to sort of like reevaluate all of that because like, why aren't they teaching us? No, you're independent. You can do everything on your own. If you happen to meet somebody who adds value to your life, great. But I mean, our parents' mentality is like, yeah, you just get married. That completes your life. That completes your deen, right? Your religion. That's part of their religion. So I think my parents are like really concerned for me, like just that, you know, I'm going to be like die alone and nobody's going to take care of me.
Yeah.
I get that.
Same for my parents.
I'm like, no, we have our friends. So we'll be fine.
Right.
I got my gal pals.
We'll be like the golden girls, you know? They did great.
I had to explain to my mom this concept of friends replacing family for a long time.
Talk to her about Friendsgiving. Tell her about
that. Did she get it?
She kind
of... The chosen family.
Chosen family, yeah. She kind of gets that, you know, because... I don't get along with my female cousins, but more than that, it's that I don't think a lot of my female cousins like me because I just left and they couldn't. So I get that energy from them.
Oh, I get that.
Oh, I get that from female friends in Chicago.
Yeah, the ones that went traditional and got married young and had kids. You feel like they're like, wait, you can do that? You can like.
And then it's like, well, I don't feel like I can, so I hate you.
Right, exactly. And because of that, you know, I tell my mom, also all my friends go through what I go through, and they live we have shared experiences. So definitely. I can obviously relate to them in a different way than to my cousins. And it took her a while to understand that, but I think she gets it now.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's good that she's open to understanding like your lifestyle and...
Yeah, she has to, right? She's kind of forced into it.
Yeah.
It wasn't a choice for her.
Was it a traditional meeting with your parents? Or like, okay, you're Kurdish. We're in Denmark. Like, obviously, what?
We're in Denmark.
When in Denmark. Marry a
Kurd.
Fellow Kurd.
Well, actually, they met in Turkey, and then my dad came.
Oh, so, right. You said your dad got an education. And
Okay. Yeah, so basically, this is a really ridiculous story. My dad had heard about my mom. So he was in university in the city, and his parents were like, all right, come on, you have to get married now, you're getting older. He was like 23, so he was like, he was like, oh, I guess I'll go and check out this girl that you're all talking about. So he went to this wedding that they were invited to in my mom's village, and then he proposed to her, and that was it.
Like, he just, like, saw her one day?
Yeah,
and
he saw her.
Yep, she checks out.
Yeah, she is pretty. Okay.
She is pretty. They were right.
Yeah, and that's all, right? And for my mom, he was like, oh, he's educated. He has green eyes. That's it.
Done.
He has green eyes.
European values, you know? Because, you know, she wasn't allowed to go to school. She wasn't allowed. So she went through that. So this was sort of, like, symbol of, like, liberation, which... You know, wasn't real, but sure.
But for her, relative, yeah, I mean, for her at that time.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I mean, it was kind of like he's like her opposite and like the things that she wanted. That's,
right.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, then he, the moment he stopped university to apply for a visa to come to Denmark, he had to go to do the military thing. You know, the 1.5 years in the Turkish military.
Does everyone have to do that?
Yeah.
Even now?
Not anymore.
Not anymore, right?
I think now it's like 6 months or something, but it used to be a year and a half. So then he had to do the military thing, but he had just gotten married. So actually,
it's terrible timing.
Terrible timing. And, you know, my mom got pregnant like right away.
Of course.
So,
So then,
like a good Middle Eastern Muslim.
Exactly. And so she raised the first like year and a half of their marriage, I guess, you know. She was on her own with and then she had my older brother, and he came to Denmark, and all of that happened afterwards.
Wow. And are there any expectations on like the type of person that they want you to marry? Do they want you to marry someone who's also Kurdish or Muslim or, you know?
It's funny how that's been changing. So when I was younger, it would be someone from our village.
Yes.
So incestuous, right?
Yeah. Wow.
And then gradually it was like, as long as he's Kurdish. Then it was like, as long as he's from Turkey. And then it was like, as long as he's Muslim. And I think now it's like, as long as he's a man.
Right. Yeah. And then eventually, like, as long as it's a soul, a breathing person. Yeah, the older we get, they drop their criteria.
It's good that we waited. I mean, I think that's really smart on our part. Yeah. We have the long game going on and still going.
I mean, I don't know how you guys feel, but I feel like the longer we also get, the less I'm inclined to marry and the less I'm inclined to
well, that's
to
what their fear is. That's the exact fear.
That's why they're like, you need him. And we're like,
I'm
really?
Like, do I? I have Task Rabbit. I have a rabbit.
Got Uber Eats. I've got. What do I need?
I got, see, yeah. I don't need, I was thinking about this, like, oh yeah, it's nice to have a guy to put up shelves or carry groceries, but hey, we have delivery. We have all these other things.
Yeah.
I think that's really good. That should be a bit.
Really?
Yeah. Task Rabbit, then rabbit.
Yeah, that is funny. It's a vibrator, if you guys don't know.
Oh, God. Okay. Oh, yeah, a rabbit. That didn't click.
That took you a while.
My God. I was like, a real rabbit. Yeah, oh, for sure.
I'm a magician now.
This one comic, she has a pet rabbit. So in my head, I was like, literal rabbit.
Oh, that would be so cute. I know. I could have a pet rabbit. That would all. Why not? All the
add
rabbits.
That.
Yeah.
Add that to the list of rabbits.
There
yeah.
you go.
Yeah.
Well, I went on a date with a guy, and he was telling me about how he had a rabbit growing up, and the rabbit would go with his grandma to pick him up from school every day.
Oh, my God.
The rabbit would go frolic to school.
Frolic.
Pick him up and go back.
That is so cute. Well,
that was adorable.
Can you train rabbits like that?
I guess this rabbit just really loved him.
Wow.
That is so cute. See, we eat rabbits. I don't, like, but in our village, my aunt would raise rabbits and then put it in our, like, food. I'm like,
what
did
it taste like?
I wouldn't eat it. My brother tried to convince me it was chicken, and I was like, no, I'm not eating it. It was too cute.
I have this crazy rabbit story. I was like,
what is your
the vibrator or the animal?
Yeah,
the animal.
Okay.
I was like 5 years old. I think my family went to Turkey to visit my relatives in their village. And I had this uncle of mine who let me go with him on the tractor to the fields, into the wheat fields they own. So I was like sitting on his lap. We were driving into the wheat fields. And then this rabbit jumped into the tractor.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was like it was going to get processed in there, right? So we obviously like played with it. I was 5 years old. So the rest of the day, I played with this rabbit that was now my pet rabbit. And then dinner time came and I was like, where's the rabbit? And my aunt was like, it's in the food.
John Sue, stop it.
Yeah.
I can't.
Wait, this, what did they put it in?
That's, they made like a stew.
We do, yeah. We have a stew like mlechia, which is like a green stew. They sometimes make it with chicken, meat, and apparently rabbit.
I refuse to eat that thing. Yeah. And I was like, I can't. No, I refuse to eat it. God. I went outside, protested this whole family, went outside, saw the rabbit's head.
No.
Outside the house.
Are you serious?
Dead serious.
They didn't realize you had this rabbit.
They beheaded their rabbit. Yeah, well, I guess you got to kill it the halal way.
Exactly.
Like, I'm having secondhand PTSD right now.
I know.
I swear to God,
this
is hurting
me. I'm glad I'm not the only one, though, in our family eats rabbits.
No one cares about child psychology in the
village. No, they don't.
They're like, they don't see things as, they're like, it's food.
Well, I don't even know what I'm talking about. Like, I would, when I, growing up, like, I was in the suburbs of Chicago, and every time I found a baby animal, I would, like, take it as my own, but I would accidentally kill it. So it's like, I found a baby robin in a nest, and I was like, yeah, this is mine now.
Too much.
And then I put it in a bowl, and I turned the heat on blast in my bathroom, and I let it stay there while I went to school so it could be warm, and I came home, and it was dead. And I was like, I buried it. No one knew about anything. Or if they did, I guess my mom just
now.
Like, yeah.
You know how they always talk about, you know, psychopaths have
this
thing
I get it.
No, but it wasn't intentional.
It wasn't intentional. I just loved it.
Okay. Or was it?
It's one thing. Okay, if I was a psychopath, I would have taken that baby robin and I would have just like killed it right there. Right. I was like, let me be your mom. Oh. Like, I was just being like,
let me warm you up.
You know? Yeah.
Oh, God. That's so sad.
That is sad.
I know.
Our parents.
Lots of animals died.
Probably don't. Yeah, they don't
just
really take pets
more,
very
yeah.
seriously.
They don't.
Though. They're
no,
just like,
they
whatever. I know we were talking about dating. We, just to jump back to that, we actually have a dating segment called 50 Shades of Brown, where we answer listener questions about dating, especially as like brown folks. I think it's like a different world for us sometimes. But Sabine, I think you have a question.
I actually have a couple though. I wanted to just see what gauge your level of. When did you start dating? Like,
when did I start dating? Oh God. Okay. It was later in my 20s.
Later 20s. Okay.
Yeah.
Me too. Mine was like 23, 24 until I really understood dating. Because I think like non-Muslims are just like, they date so much earlier.
Right.
And then,
dating is engaging, getting an engagement.
I mean, honestly,
for sure.
It's pretty heavy.
Engage and then
absolutely.
You date.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Okay, that I just wanted to see and confirm that. I guess my dating question is, if you're seeing someone for for like 4 months and, you know, it's been kind of a relationship, maybe you didn't have any, titles on it, but you've been seeing this person consistently for 4 months and they ghost you, how do you think that's appropriate?
Do we like that? Is that chill?
This is not about me or the guy that just ghosted me at all, Jansu.
Oh,
this has nothing to do with that.
Well, I do think it's an interesting. Well, since it's
why
out
did
there.
You make me ask that? Okay, that was good. You're right.
No,
okay.
Because we've talked about ghosting too. Like, what is okay? It's never appropriate to ghost, obviously, especially after like 4 months. What do you do if this person stops reaching out to you? Do you reach back out after 4 months? Like, do you say something if they just stopped answering?
Right. I had this experience of someone that I'd been talking to for 3-4 months, and then and our relationship kept going through the motions because we couldn't commit, or it was just too intense. So either one of us kept like backtracking, and mostly him. And then at some point he just stopped communicating. He just like disappeared. So if I didn't message, I wouldn't hear from him. So I stopped messaging him. And then in the beginning, I was just like, you know, fuck him then. I don't care if he treats me like that. He doesn't deserve to be in my life. And then gradually those emotions changed. It became, I went from like kind of hurt to indifferent to angry. And then once I was angry, I was like, this is just not okay to make me feel all these things. So once I, in my mind, really let go of it, I messaged him saying, hey, you could have been an adult. We could have just talked about it. You could have just said goodbye in a proper way. Like, we had enough time together that, you know, there was a history now.
Yeah.
Instead of treating me this way, you could have behaved differently. And I sent that message and I felt really good.
Good for you.
Yeah, I was like,
They
shouldn't get away with it.
How long? I agree with you. And how long did it take you to process that? Angry to neutral.
Yeah, like a month, I think. Month and a half. Mm-hmm. Yeah. From, I think it was around somewhere, this is a recent thing. It was around January that I started noticing that messages weren't really coming my way. It was only if I was initiating. And then around March, that's when I realized that, hey, okay, I need to say something because I'm not getting closure.
Right.
Like, I feel totally over whatever this was in terms of, like, I have no feelings for him, but I still felt like I had to say something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's good that you waited and got yourself to that more neutral place. I mean, you were angry, but, like, when you're over someone, I think it's easier to communicate what you need say.
Yeah. In the beginning, if I had said anything, I would have just been hurt. And it would have been the words of a hurt person. And I think you also don't. I didn't want to make myself that vulnerable to him. So towards the end, when I felt like whatever I said, I was being so rational about it. Mm-hmm. And then his response was, I know, I really fucked up. I'm sorry. I should have handled this differently. And then he was like, I want to explain to you what was going through my mind if you would want to talk. And I was like, no, that's
it. Like, yeah. That's amazing.
That's like, awesome. Because it's for you to just get off your chest what you want to say. Yeah. It's not about hearing them out.
Right.
If you don't want to.
Exactly. Like, you should have told me what was going through your mind 2 months ago.
Yeah. It's like you missed your chance.
Exactly. Yeah. So I would say,
I like that a lot.
Say what you think, right? Like, just make them aware that this is not okay and you deserve better. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you mean?
They don't deserve to be let off the hook.
I agree. Totally. Yeah. But then it's just like being off the hook. I think that was a thing for me where I'm like, okay, is it better to just completely ignore and let them know that I don't care? But then it's like, I'm doing that because I care. I don't know. I think it is better to just communicate those feelings, but
because they know we care, right? That's why they know they have this hold.
That's why they do it. Yeah. That's why they ghost or.
So then that makes me feel like, do you think that ghosting is manipulative?
I think it really depends on what the relationship was. If it's just like early on, you know, a couple of dates and they start ghosting, that's more like, okay, I have no, there's no commitment to this person. I don't owe them anything, so, you know, bye. But if it happens after your relationship has been going on for a while, then I think it's really manipulative.
And cowardly.
Very cowardly.
It could be purely cowardly, I feel like, with a little bit of I feel like men, we underestimate sometimes how cowardly, not just men, but specifically men are not as, like, accustomed to expressing their emotions and feelings. So I could see that, like, they're taking the easy way out by just, like, I'm not even going to, you know, respond or owe you an explanation. And this happens so much.
It's just,
so much, especially in New York. Like, my therapist told me that she was, like, her colleagues were writing a book about ghosting in this day and age of, like, dating.
Good.
It's, a very common thing, unfortunately, because people are cowards and they think, like, oh, well, I don't owe you anything.
Right.
But it's like, I'm a human being that you've... I've gotten ghosted. I've gotten, I don't know. I've also gotten the opposite. Sometimes it's better than like the guy that the term is hoovering to try to
hoovering.
Like bring you back in.
Oh, yeah.
So that's almost worse in my case than being hoovered.
Right. So then in your case, the guy left and then he
wouldn't leave me alone to get me back.
He would like try to reach back out and like kind of be like, hey, I'm still here.
Yeah.
Like, let's stay again or like, don't forget about me. That's what hoovering's about, right? It's not about like being in a relationship again.
It could be just trying to pull you back into that toxic world again.
Right.
because it's like on their terms. It could, that's like super manipulative, or it's just because what that's what they want, even though you've made it clear you don't want to be with them. So I'm like, what's worse? Sometimes I'm like, I'd rather just be ghosted and someone leave me alone than someone just constantly trying to like bring you back into this. And that's like also manipulative. So it's just like follow what you want to do. But I do think they should be held accountable in some ways by being told like, hey, emotionally you hurt me, and just to be able, and it's also for you. It doesn't matter what they say, right? It's like, that's helpful for us to just say it, and it you feel lighter afterwards.
I agree.
Now, I think because I started dating so late, it was really difficult learning how to do this right.
And
no one taught us how to date.
No one taught us. We had to like figure it all out.
It's like very confusing.
And it's like you can't talk about it with your siblings, I feel like. I never talked about dating with
my sister. Like, my sister's three brothers. Yeah. There's no way.
Oh, that would have been so awkward. And like, my sister, she was just so traditional. She was just like, Mom, I met this guy. And she's like, cool, you're getting married. Like, it was just like, it's so funny. We have different dynamics. Like, my mom with my sister, because Sabrina grew up in Pakistan, it's like way more, my mom is like, you're traditional, you're taking the traditional route. But with me, my mom's like, okay, so who are you talking to? Like, it's so weird that she like, but she gets it. She's like, I understand that you're different from your sister. Like, so we
That's
just
cool. See, all three brothers married Palestinian women, and my parents are just like, well, when are you gonna get married to, you know, someone Palestinian and Muslim and all of that? So I, I'm
but now the pressure is getting off a little bit, because
I
getting a little bit.
Think so. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
I think once, I often wonder that, like, what will actually happen when I bring someone into their space that isn't Kurdish or speaks Turkish or might not be Muslim? I don't know what would happen.
Right.
You know, in theory, they'd be fine with whatever, but
it would that, be, it would be tough for sure, but I think just watching certain relationships happen in my life, like, I'm like, oh, okay, I think things will be okay. Like, I had a cousin, she married this white dude, and her mom is very traditional, like very like traditional Pakistani, and she was just like so anti the marriage since the get-go, and she's a single parent, or her husband, they have a divorce, and so she just felt like, I can't handle this, my daughter's marrying a white guy, what will everyone say? Obviously, that's the thing that everyone is concerned about. And you know, my mom and dad were the ones that, like, kind of talked to her and were like, hey, it'll be fine. Like, it's okay. Like, let this happen. It's no big deal. People are people. Like, we all should love one another. And it was like, my parents are cool like that. And now it's like she cooks with him. Like, she, or she cooks, like, with my cousin's husband. And they're like friends. And
that's nice.
It's so, yeah, it's interesting to see it, like, so just, like, hate the guy to being like, yeah, he's my son-in-law. I love him. Like, it happens. They kind of just to get with the program.
They do. Sure. And
and they will.
That's the advantage of us dating at this age rather than 21, where your parents can pressure you into marrying that person who might not be right for you. Like, we can be like, actually, no, this is who I'm with. You guys can accept it or not, but you're not going to get in my head about it and influence me. Because that happened to me, and that's why I almost married somebody who was very wrong for me. But I think if it weren't the, not that my parents pressured me with someone I chose, but the fact that they were fit the, you know, description on paper, it was like that cultural pressure that we all have.
Absolutely.
Right. It's hard. It's hard to get rid of.
For sure. Yeah.
Dating New York, like dating in New York, man, if you find somebody that's good and decent and I mean, anywhere in the world, it's like, just go with that.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Do you though? Like I moved here in July and I've been dating since. And it's really poor.
It is. I've been here
for 14
years. It's
like the quality of men.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And you've been looking, dating like anyone, like non-Muslims, anyone. Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I generally don't go for white guys. That's just,
same.
Weird
I hear you.
Power dynamic thing that I just can't deal with. So.
Oh, I hear you.
Oh, yeah.
I still go for it. I go for like anyone at this point. But after my, well, after my last breakup with the imam, I like have had trouble dating Muslim men. So I was just like anything but that.
Right.
Yeah. But now I'm like, okay, let's play the field. But it is hard. It's like you really have to sift through a lot of garbage men.
Yeah.
Until you find one that's like, okay.
Yeah. And a lot of it for me is just in the initial texting. Mm-hmm. Like these comments are patronizing. They're like very gendered. And that just puts me off immediately. And then I just like.
Yeah.
Like feel cringy.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's really good that you can you can really read someone based on their texts. Mm.
I also do a FaceTime. Like when I was on apps, I would FaceTime the person for a few minutes at least to make sure that they're first of all who they say they are, and that you vibe first before wasting your time on an actual date. Right. I find that's helpful. Do the initial
screening. I started doing that, but I get really anxious to asking them about it. I'm like, can we FaceTime real quick? Because I just need to like know that you're like not weird or like I don't
even, I just I need to see if there's a vibe.
Oh, like to see if there's a vibe.
Yeah,
and let's, you just start let's saying FaceTime that. First. I make it a whole thing, and they're like, what?
Oh, no. I think that's normal now, especially in the age of COVID, where you like don't want to leave your house for somebody. Like,
right.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to risk COVID if you end up being a piece of shit, and I might as well just find that out right away.
Yeah,
but
I mean, you can hear. Because there's a lot of it in like a voice. Okay, here's another thing. Have you ever disliked someone because of their voice?
For sure.
Yeah. Or is that their a biological
laugh.
Thing?
Or their laugh.
And the, okay, yeah. Good. I was dating someone and I was like, I'm gonna look past his voice. And it's like you're gonna.
I thought you were gonna tell me about the hot voice.
Oh no. Okay. So
wait, who's the one with the? Well, I don't know.
Okay. This. Give me all right. The current guy has a hot voice.
That's nice.
It's like deep and like slightly raspy. Was it a little raspy?
A little raspy. I listened to the voice memos.
She listened to the voice memos that were sent specifically to me that I share with everybody.
Let's play one on the air.
Yeah, let's do it. you had a hot voice, and I was like, oh my God, the last guy's voice was not that hot. Like, I'm kind of into it.
And what if you met the person and you're like, oh, you don't look how I expected this voice to sound like?
Yeah, the voice. Right, the voice doesn't match the face.
Yeah,
I think that's why FaceTime is helpful.
Yeah. It's helpful
because you can like check it out in real time. Also, like sometimes you isolate just the voice. You're on the phone. You're only listening to voice. If you're only seeing the person, you're not really like also seeing a person as a whole. Obviously, right. But it is nice. That's an added perk to have like a hot voice.
Yeah, it's a perk. It's definitely. I guess it's not a deal breaker because like when I dated a guy whose voice I was just like I don't like this. I was still like,
was
all
this
right.
The last ghosting person had a bad voice.
I didn't like his voice.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, whatever. He ghosted. Fuck him.
Yeah.
And his stupid voice. I mean,
that was a ghoster?
Yeah.
He
kind of looks like a ghost. So.
This is so mean, wait, you guys. We can't. I feel like this shouldn't.
I'm sorry. We had a whole shit talking fest last night. I know I shouldn't put it out. We're not
so
putting
bad.
Names.
Okay. Yeah, we're not putting any names. But yeah, it was just.
But catch her set later.
If you want the name. This is awful. No one's gonna date
he's
me
not
ever.
Gonna, like that's not true. He ghosted, and he's like the.
He did
other shitty things. So like, why are we giving? We're not even
right.
You know when someone's perfume just puts you off?
Oh
yes,
yeah,
their scent.
Or it could be their pheromones.
I think that is. Yeah. That's too. Like yeah.
That's such a big like that's
it's a
no-no.
Huge thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, it's a thing that you can't really talk about. I remember I was like getting kind of like close to this guy at this party at my place, and he was like, "I like the way you smell," and I was like, "Oh,
it can sound creepy."
I was like, "Don't say it, just think it."
Yeah,
like, I'm glad
that is that
oh
can
God,
never
I
not be cringy.
Yeah. I say it. Is that creepy?
You say it.
I don't know.
It's okay.
It depends on how.
Depends on how.
I'm like, I like your pheromones.
I'm really digging your pheromones.
I'm really digging in it.
Oh, good.
It's okay. That. We're at the point now we can say that to each other.
Okay. That's
yeah, that's true.
That's not like, weird. It's not, yeah, it's not like a first date. Mm-hmm. But
when you pass that point, you're like, oh, now we can share everything. Like, that's,
oh, yeah.
I'm there right
if
now.
If it was on the first date and you said, I like your pheromones, or, yeah. That'd be weird.
First of all, I wouldn't be that close to them to smell it. You have to sort of be like, but right. There's some people like you're just, attracted to how they smell. It's primal.
Yes.
It's like,
and I really believe in that being, primal, like biological. If you don't like someone's scent, then I just think that's biology telling you no.
Right.
Honestly,
this person is a bad match for you.
That should be an app, like a scent-based app.
I was just thinking that.
Center.
Like, there should be something. Center.
S-C-E-N-T-R. No E.
Wow. Like, what if the app just, like, took all your data and, like, it was, like, a 23andMe app, like, where it, like, took all your, like, your biology, your chemistry.
Oh, my God. That's probably going to be a thing.
And then
your
matched you with
data.
Someone that you,
that's a thing,
you're
though.
Chemically matched with.
Okay. Silicon Valley, get on this.
Hey, Silicon Valley.
Yeah. We got an app idea for
you. If
you
want a scientist on board, let me know.
Oh, yeah, we got a neuroscientist.
Yeah, if you want a marketing
person.
We
need any of our listeners, if you are an app developer.
Hit us up. Honestly, dude, we're into it. We're ready to change dating. No more swiping.
Dating.
Dude, what if there was like, they tried
sniffing.
To create an app.
I'll upload your smell onto this app.
Sniffer. Maybe that'll be
you
the
You have
app,
to, like, smell coffee between, like, to, yeah, like, just, like,
clear, cleanse the palate.
That's ridiculous. I love it. No, someone created an app where it was just voice-based. And it, I don't really know if it took off, but I forgot. It was, like, a Muslim app. And it was just... You couldn't see or anything.
I remember
it was just the voices.
That.
Remember?
I do remember.
I mean, I don't know if it still exists, but it was just, I
was
never did it.
If you add some smell to it, I'm game. No.
Yeah. I mean,
what is the implication of that, though? What, like, having this app, is that telling people don't judge anyone based on how they look?
Yeah,
or,
I think it kind
like
of
being
is.
Able to talk to people.
Or is that like your
them.
Wife's wearing burqa anyway? So, you know.
It's kind of like, voice. It was like Love is Blind, but the app version.
Yeah. I kind of hate that.
I do, like, too, because it's like, come on, let's be honest here. Like, you want right. to be attracted to someone.
Yeah.
That's video, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
You need, yeah, I might as well find that out early
yeah.
on.
For sure.
Right, and then talk to them for months. But that's it. Glad we're all on the same page
yeah.
with this.
Let's create this app. Sniffing.
Sniffer. So we've got one last segment for you right. called Keeping Up with the Caucasian. So this is a segment where we talk about things that white people do and whether we as people of color also do these things. So we have different categories to choose from. We've got food/beverage, pop culture, activities, style and clothes, phrases or sayings, and miscellaneous. Do you have a category that you want?
Let's go with pop culture.
Pop culture.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, this is something that, like, I've been hearing a lot of white people say, especially now. They're like, I don't watch the news because it makes me sad.
Oh,
I don't,
God.
Like, have you ever yeah. said, I don't, or avoided the news or say, like, do you have the luxury of avoiding the news,
right.
first of all?
Right. No, you can't. Like, you have to right. know what's going on in the world. Like, mostly.
Because it affects
yeah.
us.
It like, affects us. Yeah.
100%.
I find that so obnoxious, so privileged.
I've been hearing it like so much. Like, oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
it makes me sad. It's
I'm
like,
not
well,
going
like,
to watch it. I'm like, oh, that's nice because my people yeah. are getting murdered. And I, whether or not I watch it, it's yeah. happening. And
yeah.
I just can't.
Right.
I can't. I don't have the luxury.
Makes me sad.
Yeah, what's happening makes me sad. But it's like, mm-hmm. do something about it
right.
then. Don't just turn it off.
Yeah. Be sad. Be sad.
Sad
about this.
Feel you should something.
Be sad.
Yeah. You're
and
right.
Then makes,
be
take
sad.
Some action. Like,
yeah.
see how you can help, post, donate, whatever. Yeah. And it pisses me off. I've been hearing it so much, like, lately,
really?
Just from different people. Or, like,
yeah.
people just like, yeah, the news is so sad. I don't even listen to her. I can't watch the news. I'm like, that must be nice. What's that like?
Wow.
To not want or need or have any effect on you if you don't know what's going on in the
yeah.
world.
Mm-hmm.
I actually also
yeah.
wanted to say this one, the
yeah,
not
hey,
having
yeah,
a,
yeah, yeah.
not having a TV by choice. I just realized that that's the funniest thing. And I've had white dudes tell me that they won't have a TV by choice. And
because it's like it makes them sound more intellectual or like,
and I'm like, I needed I as soon as I moved in my studio, I was like, when am I getting this TV?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
In our house,
okay.
we need like 5 TV. Like everyone, we need a TV.
All the furniture
yeah.
points towards the TV.
Yeah. yeah. The TV's the main event. yeah. Always. I'm never going to change that.
How do I?
Why?
Having said that, I actually don't have a TV.
By choice.
Oh, man.
Not like do an want... active choice. It's more like, hey, I bought my like I it didn't. It wasn't even
necessity.
In the.
Yeah.
In like yeah I didn't think about it, and I lived in student housing for so long that I never had a TV. It was always like on your laptop, Netflix,
right? But you
and,
watch
yeah.
stuff on your laptop.
I absolutely
that's
do.
Where like
yeah.
these people like I've had this happen too, where people say they don't have a TV and then like but they're on all the streaming services.
Right.
I'm like
right.
okay,
like you
not,
have a TV.
You
okay.
have a TV. It's just
yeah.
a smaller.
You just have a bad TV.
Yeah,
yeah.
right. You just
but
didn't want to own up to it.
Yeah,
right.
But people
yeah.
say like yeah, well I or whatever. Like oh I don't watch TV. Like it's a status thing or like
okay.
I'm like oh but you're
I'm
watching.
I'm like proud
everything.
Of my TV. I have like the
yeah.
swivel thing so it moves.
Oh, check you out.
I'm like, yeah, I got a TV and it moves.
And it's mounted.
It's mounted. You can watch it from any place in my apartment.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I kind of do want a TV now. I do. Because,
yeah.
you know, now I feel like I'm an adult.
Do it.
I should get a TV.
Yeah.
And if you need it mounted, Tim McLaughlin, he's great.
Shout out,
shout
Tim.
Out Tim.
Funny
we love
comic.
You.
He's great.
Tim, yeah.
he's he doesn't just mount TVs.
Yeah, he's
I mean,
he's
I don't,
a podcast,
I don't
a comedian,
know him.
He's funny.
I don't know him, so it'd be
TV.
Kind of weird if I just reached
right.
out and I was
like,
I heard
I'll do an intro.
I heard you
he mounted
TV.
My mirror. He,
I
he's,
do need someone to mount my TV.
Oh, okay.
Hey, yeah.
I'll reach out to him.
For sure. Let's all reach out to Tim. Let's give him a call right now.
Also book him.
Also-
For for shows. Not that booking hell? For mounting.
Oh, gosh.
Booking for shows and mounting.
I think it would be really weird for me to ask someone to do something, like build something for me, because that in my home, that's always done in-house. Like, my mom does all of that.
Really?
She's, like, the handiworker in our family.
That is really cool.
That's She's
cool.
so cool in that way. Like, she'll do appliances, like, lights and... when something's broken, she's the one that fixes it.
Wow.
She did our entire floor.
Whoa.
Like the floor
like
itself.
Tiled it?
Yeah. And it's so, like, she's really, really skilled. She's
that's
never gone
cool.
to school. Like, but it would be
she's
really
naturally,
weird.
Like, skilled. Like, yeah, that's really cool.
Like, she's the one, she sews. And, you know, anyone in my family that needs their clothes altered comes to her to do it. So, it's, she's and she's really good at cooking. So, if I had to have something done and I didn't do it myself, it'd be like, what do you mean? You paid someone to do it?
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. So
I got that.
You're
yeah.
used to it. Yeah.
I did do my, when I moved into this apartment, it had no AC.
So you built one. from scratch.
From scratch.
You called your mom and she was like, I'm sending you the parts. And
do you have a fan? Do you have some wires?
It's really easy. You have a PhD. You got this.
You have two
right.
bobby pins. So we yeah. can throw together.
You need
MacGyver
a
your way yeah. into an yeah. AC. Sorry. Did you install it?
What did you do with the AC?
I just installed it.
Is it and the window unit?
It's a window unit.
Okay. Because I had the... You remember the external one that mm-hmm. didn't take much to install, but I still did it and felt so proud of myself.
So
but
yeah,
good, right?
It didn't
yeah.
even take much work.
The thing is, this
but that
this AC was small, so it wasn't fitting in. The window is really big, and I was like, why is this? It's supposed to just like, you know, fit in. And I put the whole thing on. It was really heavy, and then I went to the hardware store, and the guy was like, I took a photo and I showed him. He was like, you put this here? He was like, you did that alone? Just you? And I was like, yeah. He's like, this is really good. It's really, wow. You did it right. And then I asked him why, how I could fit it into the window exactly, like the
yeah,
sides
you
need that, of it.
The
yeah.
thing that comes extended.
And it just, because it wouldn't fit that part. So he gave me all these tools and I went home and I just like siliconed the shit out of it.
Oh,
so.
Wow.
Like, nice.
So I'm scared with AC in particular because you could kill somebody in New York City if that falls out the window. Right. So I've always been like, I've always yeah. hired or yeah. had somebody do it. I don't know. Or
the thing is, I have a little ledge outside, so it can actually fall down.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
If I didn't have the AC, that would have been a really nice space because, you know, the window could lift and you could just sort of use it as like a little,
yeah,
almost like a
oh,
little balcony.
You should do that. I did that with my fire escape. You should do that.
Yeah.
Like put the we'll check it out. We'll
yeah. I want to take a look at this.
Let's go see this AC.
Yeah. I would have to take the
you
AC.
You put it in
though.
A different window.
There's
though.
No other window?
There's one window in the living room. That's it.
Let's put it there.
But that's where it is.
Oh, that's the window.
That is the window. Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll figure it out.
I feel yeah. defeated.
I know. I was like, let's call your landlord and let's see
we'll
if then you can
it
do
out.
Central
install
air.
The window.
Yeah.
Central, yeah. Make them change it to a central
change it
air.
Out.
You can make that happen.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
We yeah. believe in you. Johnson, this is so fun. Thank you so much for speaking to us.
Thank
Where
you.
Can our listeners find you, follow you, anything you want to plug?
For sure. I am on Instagram at johnsudisdat, CanSudisdat. I have a show on called Fuck It Up. It's Femmes of Color.
Ooh.
Celebrating
yeah.
and showcasing women of color. Non-binary people of color and transmasculine people of color, and hoping to like fight tokenism.
Hell yeah.
It's a show that we brought over from the UK. So
oh.
there's a UK chapter that's like super successful. We've done the Edinburgh Fringe Festival and
so
a South
cool.
Bank Festival. So
wow.
we're hoping to start the same thing in New York, and the audience is sort of a part of the community.
Yeah.
So we're hoping to get a lot of, you know, women of color out into the show. So the first show is on April 23rd. 9:30 p.m. at the Duplex. And then I'm bringing over Laugh for Change as well, which is a show. It's an organization that I ran in the UK. We'd organize shows to raise relief aid for refugees in Greece. So a lot of the refugees that came from Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan, they're still stuck there. Unlike some other refugees, they're not met with open borders. So we still need to raise some money for legal aid. So we're also starting the New York chapter of that. April 27th at the New York Comedy Club. So should follow me and find out.
Follow Jansu. We'll have everything in the show notes with your Instagram. That's awesome. So cool. Mm-hmm. You could follow us at No Fly List Pod. You can follow me at Athir Yacoub.
And you can follow me at Sabine Comedy.
And thank you to Canal Street Market for having us.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.